just going to invite us to take a moment to pray. Just take some time before God. And I just sense God saying to us, as we've just sung, His arms are open. Walk into His presence and allow Him, invite Him to just embrace you in His love. Do you know that embrace? Can you welcome that embrace? That total forgiveness and acceptance and welcome into the presence of God. God, we just invite you to pour your love into our lives. We pray for your comfort, for your grace, for your strength and power to flow in and through us. Not just so that we can feel good, but God, so that you will use us as instruments of your grace in a world that's hurting. God, to stand before your altar also calls us to obedience. And Lord, we proclaim that, God. We want to be your children. We want to walk with you. We want to be obedient to you. God, call us. Place a call in our hearts. Forgive us and clean us up as we need to be cleansed. But Lord, we just want to welcome you to take over, to take control, to be our God, our Father, to be our all. Lord, we just thank you for being here this morning. And Father, as we stand in your presence, we also just invite you to speak into our lives right now. Maybe it's already, God, you've already spoken into people's lives, into individuals, and just said, this is what I wanted you to hear this morning. Because, God, we don't want to leave this place without having heard from you. Bottom line, we don't want to leave until we've heard from you. So, Lord, minister to our spirits and our hearts. Father, we just celebrate you. We rejoice in you. And we give you praise. Thanks. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen and amen. Kids, we're going to invite you and Rachel and staff to head to Kids Corner. Bless you as you go. Hey, you. How are you? Good to see you. Have a good morning. Thank you, worship team. For again, leading us to God, leading us to the altar. Spiritual growth. Did you grow this past week? I don't mean just physically. Okay, what did we lose? Did I do that? Did I knock that around? Do we still want on the right-hand side? You want that over a bit yet?
It's not on the screen. It's locked. The words are
on the screen. It's the presentation itself.
Okay. Technology. How are you doing with those resolutions? That resolution to grow spiritually. What focus, what plan, what has God laid on your heart, your mind? What has he sort of said? This is God, you know, just saying, this is what I want you to do, how I want you to grow and change and learn this year. As Catherine said, this is week two in a series that we've entitled Spiritual Growth, because we are designed to grow. That's how God created us to be. That's his design on our hearts. He created us to grow spiritually, physically, and his key desire is that spiritual growth. Scriptures we looked at last week from Luke, you know, Luke writes, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In stature, he grew physically, in wisdom, that wisdom, knowledge, that God-given work in his life, and then in favor with, or in that love relationship with God and with man, he grew. And over, Scripture calls us to grow. And by the way, a mistake last week, if some of you were looking for a particular verse, 2 Peter 3:18. I think last week I had on the screen it was 1 Peter. And if you looked at 1 Peter, you said, that makes no sense. That makes nothing fit, doesn't fit at all. But 2 Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, those two words, you just find repeated over and over and over. Grow in grace. Grow in the grace of God so that you receive grace, but you also extend grace. Grow in knowledge. How do we extend grace? How do we understand our God? How does he work in and through our lives? And then Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10. Paul writes that we are to rid ourselves, get rid of those old habits, and he lists a whole series of things, sort of getting rid of those old habits, those attitudes, getting rid of those, in a sense, those old clothes that we wore as a sinner. Because we're called to put on a new self, which is being, and look, notice the words, that new self which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. Our Creator, in the image of Jesus. And again, two things I want to just note from that particular verse before we go much farther. Again, growing spiritually, it's God's plan. It's his design. That's the way he's created us to be. And it's not so that we get an A+ on a report card at the end of life. He doesn't hand out report cards. Well, he gives out crowns. That maybe is our report card. I don't know. But his design, his plan is that we represent Jesus here on this earth. Do you see again that phrase? Being renewed in knowledge in the image of our Creator. When people look at us, when people saw and worked with us this week, did they see Jesus? And did they see Jesus in the way that Scripture would say, this is Jesus? Not in our world image of who we think and want Jesus to be sometimes. And then again, noticing the word knowledge incorporated in so many aspects of growth. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. And again, knowledge is just not facts. It's experiencing, knowing God. How do I grow in spiritual knowledge? Well, again, I grow in spiritual knowledge through the word. Reading books, taking courses, listening to sermons, listening to podcasts, spending time in Right Now Media, gaining input in a variety of ways. Small groups, new small groups starting up. Small groups are a great way to grow in knowledge because it gives us that opportunity to bounce, to argue, to, well, we wouldn't argue. We don't do that. But to say, I don't understand. What do you think? Let's grapple with this. Let's dig into this a little deeper. Challenge our thinking. And then just spending time with God, as Catherine talked about this morning, that cup, that pause. And I thought she was going to talk about how much tea she likes to drink. It wasn't that. I mean, if it was that, then she would have one. She likes tea. But pausing with God, spending time, meditating, learning, and doing that experience. How do I grow in knowledge? I grow in my experience by serving and loving and doing and compassion, acts of compassion. But growth takes work. It takes focus. It takes discipline. It takes intent. This week I spent some time listening to a couple sections out of a series by John Maxwell on leadership and growth. And one of his statements really caught me. He says, be intentional regarding personal growth. Growth is not an automatic process. If you grow, it will be on purpose. It's like, oh, okay. Be intentional. How am I, as I move into this year, how am I being intentional in my growth? And I want to just share a personal, and I actually shared it with Leah this morning. We were talking a few minutes before church. My resolution, which I usually don't do, but she does. And I talk to Leah about some of her. I love it. Oh, she is just such a detail. I love it. But that's not my norm. But my resolution this year is to grow spiritually, to read. And as I think I mentioned last week, I mean, I like to read and I enjoy reading, but I think I've got about probably 8, closer to 10 or 11 on my shelf that are still waiting. Just finished The Rest of God, and I'm going to be referring to that again this morning by Mark Buchanan. Partway through a book by Brian Zand, Water to Wine, a personal biography kind of sense of Brian. And just some good materials there. But it was that reading The Rest of God, and out of that, God directing me to a verse out of Scripture, 1 Peter 4, verse 11, which just, you know, sometimes God just hits you with something and says, Claire, are you awake? You know, one across the forehead. In 1 Peter 11, Peter is writing just a various commands to do, to be as we live. And then he says this, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And I read that and was like, oh, okay, Claire. I just felt God saying, Claire, in this last year, as you've preached here at the gathering, have you preached every morning as if you were speaking my words? At men's group, when you have a coffee with someone and you're talking scripture, or just talking about life, are you speaking as if it's speaking my words, God said? And it was like, all right, thank you for the challenge, Lord. And there's times I look at that again, I read that even now, and I'm going, all right, I don't know if I can do that. Like, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know God. Without your help, that's a useless process. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the words of God. He just raised the bar for me. God just put the bar up here. And it's a humbling process to walk through that. But that is my resolution for this year, to read, to learn, to dig into Scripture in a fresh way. Because there's so many times I say, man, I just didn't know that. And it's like, but you're a pastor, you're preaching, you should be knowing that. I got lots to do to grow. Spiritual food and hunger. Spiritual growth happens as we read, as we dig, as we spend time in prayer, practicing listening to the Holy Spirit, forming disciplines. Last Sunday, we saw that Jesus shared in what he called, or what I called, other kingdom food. And Jesus called other kingdom food. He says, you know, John 4, the story of the Samaritan and the well. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of the Father, to finish his work. My food is to do the Father's will. And it's such a, that God paradox, isn't it? You know, because again, we think physically. I talked about this last week just a bit. You know, from a physical point of view, we eat, gives our body energy, we do work, which, you know, expends that energy, and therefore I need to eat again, and it just, the cycle continues. I work, and I was going to say I work to eat. Well, sometimes we do that too, and we eat to work. I mean, it's just that cycle of process. And Jesus says, but spiritually, there's another form here. Spiritually, his food, his source of energy, spiritual energy was literally doing the work of the Father, doing the will of the Father. And I guess the question for me is, if it's true for Jesus, it's got to be true for you, right? And me. And so the question is, do I need to be a pastor or a missionary or a Sunday school teacher or to do the will of God, to do his work, to get that kind of food? And I'm going, no, I don't think so. Because my reaction is, or my understanding, and I just, in fact, just read an article this week again that was so very, you know, like, okay, God, that's another just affirmation where it said, we are all called as believers to full-time service, to full-time ministry. Because if we are walking in step with the Spirit, if we're walking and doing and desiring to do the will of God, then whether you're making dinner for your family, or you're teaching your math or your kindergarten class, completing that accounting report, finishing up those architectural drawings, building that house, replacing the spark plugs in your engine, whatever it is, if we are desiring to do the will of God, then that work is food. It is nourishing. And you say, but isn't it just when I'm sharing Christ with others or leading in worship? No. Yes, those two would nourish and feed yourself. But if we're walking and doing the will of the Father, then whatever I do, as Paul says, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Spiritual food that nourishes. And yes, there's still going to be room and need for spiritual rest. Jesus, I mean, consistently did the will of the Father. We know that. We believe that. But Jesus also needed spiritual rest. Again, Luke talks about, and Jesus withdrew to a lonely place to pray. Jesus needed to step back. He needed to remove himself from the frantic, the pace, the doing, the interacting with people to rest and be renewed. It was crucial to his life and ministry. What did he withdraw from? Well, Jesus withdrew from the helping, the healing, the serving, the teaching, the doing, because he needed to move from that spiritual outflow to spiritual intake or inflow. He had to be renewed as well. So yes, his food was to do the will of the Father, but he also needed times of spiritual rest. And that's where we want to focus on for the rest of this morning. What is spiritual rest? What does it look like? We all need physical rest. Rest is a vital part of spiritual growth. We know that. How do you rest spiritually? Catherine gave us two very practical examples of, for her, what is spiritual rest this morning. In Luke 5, again, Jesus says, or just Luke says, Jesus withdrew and he prayed. And he spent time with his Heavenly Father. And for him, that was a vital piece, a vital component of his spiritual rest. That's one way. Spiritual rest does not mean a vacation from spiritual disciplines. Spiritual rest does not mean saying, yep, going to pack in church for the next couple of weeks. I'm going to take a spiritual rest. Put the Bible away. I'm just going to let it gather dust. That's not spiritual rest. Because the reality is that many of those same actions, those same growth comments that we looked at last week, those disciplines of reading and serving and obedience and giving, those disciplines are vital for growth as well as for rest. Sabbath rest. It's a choice. And I use the word Sabbath, and Sabbath brings all kinds of connotations. Sabbath for the Jew was that day, that time. Sabbath can mean for us this Sunday. But Sabbath, I think, is a much broader aspect of that, of stepping back and ceasing. And I want to focus, just as we start, on two verses. Jeremiah 6, 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and walk in it, obedience, and you will find rest for your souls. And then a verse that Catherine referred to this morning as well, from Psalm 46. And by the way, if you noticed in the newsletter, I think I made a mistake there. I think we had down Psalm 45. If you looked at that and said, that's not fitting. Psalm 46, verse 10 and 11. Be still. And notice there's a comma after that. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know. Sabbath rest, restoration, requires ceasing. It requires stepping back. It requires us to stand and look. Stand at the crossroads and look and ask. Ask. Oh. See, the challenge with asking, it's a choice of submission, dependency. To ask. Ask what the good way is. Ask admits, I don't know the good way. Ask says, I don't know the direction. And I know men, yeah, it's tough for us. Ask? What do you mean ask? Oh, yeah. Ask Google. Google? Yeah, okay, Google. You know, that's an easier way. At least we don't need to walk into the garage and ask for directions. Ask. Ask says, God, I don't know. I need you to give some wisdom. I don't know where I'm going. It says, I am willing to submit. I cannot do it on my own. I need you, God. And then in that ceasing, being still, inviting him to speak and saying, God, help me to listen. Help me to hear. Help me to understand. And what are the results? You will find rest for your souls. What a beautiful image. You will find rest for your soul. A rest that just sort of eliminates, just eliminates that franticness, that unsettledness, that, oh, God, you know, that angst that sometimes comes into our lives. But in that rest, we also find knowledge. Be still and know. That knowledge that comes in that comfort of knowledge, that comfort of simply saying, I know, I have experienced a knowing of experience. I've known the love of God. But it's a choice. It's a choice of obedience. Last Sunday, we sang a song that I had never heard, From the Inside Out. And I chose not to put the words on the screen because I want you to hear and listen to the words. And I'm just going to pick up one part of a verse here. We sang this. We stated this to God. In my heart and my soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me. Consume me from the inside out. Lord, let justice and praise become my embrace to love you from the inside out. Your will, above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Lord, I give you control. It's submission. It's obedience. Sabbath rest. Not a spiritual vocation, but it is ceasing. It's ceasing from busyness. It's ceasing our work if necessary. It's being still, ceasing from our running. However, I believe that Sabbath rest is also working to increase our sensitivity to God, learning to listen. As a teacher in the classroom, there was no Sabbath rest in the classroom. I mean, thinking of Sabbath rest with 30-plus sometimes kids in the classroom trying to teach math, physics, etc., there was no Sabbath rest there. But there was great, for me, there was times when it was like I could step out of the classroom, or especially as principal, to be able to go back to the office and just, I need to lock the door. Well, not lock it. I need to close the door for a minute. I just need a few minutes alone right now. Because I know there's three kids out here that I need to discipline in a few moments. I needed a Sabbath rest. Going to a meeting was beautiful. It was like, if I got a meeting in the afternoon, it was like, great. Into the car, bang. 20, 30 minutes, whatever, turn the worship music on. Sabbath rest happening on the way to that meeting. It was neat, and I appreciate it. And I won't mention who, but on Wednesday or Thursday night, our men's group, one of the guys expressed and shared that for him, his work, which is often physical work, and many times it's alone, enables him to have what I call a Sabbath rest as he works. Time of reflecting, time of hearing from God, times of talking to God, even as he worked and did physical work. And I'm going, what a beautiful experience of allowing God to give Sabbath rest in the middle of your work. For many, that doesn't happen because of your engagement with too many things and people. Mark Buchanan in The Rest of God, he says this, and I quote, Sabbath is both a day and time and an attitude which nurtures stillness. It is both a day on the calendar and a disposition of the heart. Sabbath rest. It's a time, but it's an attitude. It's a heart. Jesus asked his disciples to watch and pray. Key words, isn't it? Watch and pray. And Mark again states that, quote, this is the essence of a Sabbath heart, paying attention. Watching, praying is being fully present, wholly awake, in each moment aware of the presence of God. Yeah, I just love that statement. And that would be my goal. Can I be so wholly awake in each moment aware of the presence of God. Sabbath rest. God's desire of Sabbath rest is just that, a time of rest, of restoration, renewal. Catherine again mentioned, as God created the earth, he says on the seventh day he rested. Did God run out of energy? Did he run out of ideas? That's not the issue. He set an example for you and I to say we need to at times step back from the busyness, step from back from the creating, from the work, and rest and be renewed. Sabbath rest may in time involve times of reflection and reading in prayer. Sabbath rest may even involve recreation and play. It may be a beautiful time of walking on the beach, of running through that grain field. I like that picture up on the left. This kid just running through the field, just feeling the warmth of the sun, feeling the breeze blow and say, God, you are here. Sometimes I wish we could all just return to those times as kids and just run and run down the beach and experience the presence of God in that moment. Hearing God's voice in the wind. Now, as humans, we become so legalistic. We can't on the Sabbath. We have, don't do that. Well, don't do that. Well, don't do that. Do this, do this. Don't do that, do this. I mean, the Sadducees, Pharisees, they were nasty that way. They had a million and one rules for the Sabbath. And then I was going to say, the beautiful thing is, I don't know if that's the right phrase. The amazing thing is that God, Jesus chose to break so many of those rules. He healed the man with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath. He plucked grains of wheat and ate on the Sabbath. He cast out demons. He gave life in Sabbath time. And again, Buchanan states, he says what he would call the Sabbath rule. Cease from what is necessary. Embrace that which gives life. Can you hold on to that? Cease what is necessary. Cease from what is necessary. Embrace that which gives life. Times of Sabbath rest. And the key is, what's life-giving to you? What may be life-giving to you absolutely has no impact on somebody else. They may find that boring, they may find that tedious, they may find that terrible. But for you, it gives life. Beautiful. Find what it is that gives life into your heart and your soul for Sabbath rest. Moments that restore and give. I had asked Rachel if she would share this morning her experience of being very intentional in Sabbath time, finding Sabbath rest. What does she do? Why does she do it? What's the impact? Because of schedules with her, and she was doing a couple things with the kids this morning, we just wasn't sure it would fit. We'd leave somebody hanging, so we've got her by video. Rachel?
Hey, Gathering Church. I am currently hanging out with your children in Kids Corner, but wanted to contribute to this conversation about Sabbath. And so Claire asked if I would share a little bit about what I've been learning about Sabbath in the last few years. And I just want to put a disclaimer out there that I feel like I am no expert in this area. And slowing down and being still and being intentional are things that I really have to work on within myself. So I'm still on the journey, with all of this. So I just wanted to put that out there first. So, a couple of years ago when I started working for the region of Waterloo part-time and found myself with a lot of extra time, I started thinking more about this idea of Sabbath, which, is spoken about in the Bible a little bit more so in the Old Testament. And I wanted to think about, what does this look like for me in this day and age right now? What does Sabbath actually mean? And I think, like a lot of guidelines or rules or commandments that we see in the Bible, a lot of these things aren't so that we can check off a list and say we've done it, we're in God's good books. It's more so that God creates these guidelines for us so that we feel a deep sense of connection to Him and to His kingdom and to creation. And so, for me, I wanted to feel more connected to God. And so as I did some reading and some research about what Sabbath means in our modern context, I found some really great blogs and reflections of other people who are following Jesus. And some themes that I noticed were taking time or taking like a day to not spend any money. So trying to do your groceries and other things on other days of the week. Using a different skill set than you would use in your work. So for me, I ended up on my Sabbath days doing things like baking for other people or for Chris and I, or painting or sewing, or just using different skills and being prayerful as I did these things. Also, they talked about sort of reducing our use of technology. And so on days where I try and take Sabbath, I try and not spend any time on social media or try and spend limited time on my computer. Now, again, I'm not perfect and this is something that I'm working towards, but those are some of the guidelines that I found really helpful. And I noticed that when I was in this season where I had a lot of time and was trying to practice Sabbath regularly, I just noticed my days would go differently and my interactions with other people would feel different. They would feel richer. I don't know. Like I felt like I could listen more deeply. I felt like there were more sort of like random things that would happen where people would share things with me that I wouldn't expect them to share otherwise, like deep heart things. And now that I find myself in my last semester of my Master's of Social Work and I'm only taking two classes and working at the Gathering, I have a lot of vacant space in my life. And so I'm again sort of revisiting this idea of Sabbath and trying to figure out sort of what that looks like right now. And in the last couple of weeks, I have really enjoyed spending time in scripture, and I'm actually doing this thing called the Bible Project, which I would really recommend checking out. And it's a 1 year look at the Bible and with a lot of accompanying videos that are free and on YouTube. So finding ways to kind of connect with God, seeing Sabbath as an opportunity for us to grow and to deepen our relationship and our sense of connection with God. And that it's for us, it's for our benefit. God rested on the seventh day of creation, and he kind of created that model that we need to be slowing down. We need it. He doesn't necessarily need it, but we need it. And I think in the seasons where I've been busy, so in between when I was back in school and doing practicum and all of these other things, it's not that Sabbath just pops up in seasons where we have lots of time, because I know many of you are really, really busy with kids and other things in your life. But I think there are skills within Sabbath that we can incorporate into our full lives. So if that's just even pausing and thinking of five things we're grateful for at the end of the day, or pausing and spending some time reading scripture, or reading a psalm, or I think Sabbath is the opportunity for us to come to know God more fully and for our lives to be enriched as a result. So I hope that that helps, and I would love to hear how others of you practice Sabbath and questions or thoughts that you might have about it. It'd be great to chat more about that. So thanks for listening.
Excellent. Thank you. And again, you're welcome to connect with Rachel afterward as well and talk a little bit about what her Sabbath process looks like. Two key things that you heard there: intent, planning, thinking, preparing. And it's a challenge, isn't it? And there are challenges. Life is full. Life is busy. I know some of you as moms or dads are probably saying, time in a day? It's like, goodness sakes. There is not a moment to turn around. And some of you are nodding. Yeah, you get to the end of the day and the kids are in bed. And at that point, oh yeah, the bathroom needs to be cleaned. The laundry needs to be done yet. I need to put this away and I just need to go to bed and sleep. That becomes the challenge, doesn't it? How do we find Sabbath rest? And we could talk a multiplicity of other challenges in that. But I think the key would be, yes, as Brian Zand in his book says, it should be evident that the pace, the pressure, the distractions of modern life, and I appreciate it, Rachel's comment about setting aside some of the media, the techno, you know, setting that aside as a means of Sabbath rest. He says the distractions of modern life are not conducive to a healthy development of the human soul. So how do we? And the key to me is, again, I just encourage you, that phrase from Mark, cease from what is necessary. Embrace that which gives life. Because God continues to say, come. I invite you to come. Whether it's for that walk in the woods or the walk on the beach or simply a two-minute time, wherever you can find it in the day, to come and be still and know that I am God. I'm going to invite Amanda to come. Amanda's going to conclude our service with us by leading us in a song this morning, singing a song to us. Come to me. And I wouldn't just wait. The words are not going to be on the screen, because I like you. I encourage you to listen and allow God to speak the words into your heart and into your life. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it look like to come? That's his call. Come to me.
Waters, and I will whisper peace.
Just invite us to stand if we would. God says, come. He'll give us peace and rest and joy. But it's our choice to be obedient and come. And I would just invite you to listen to the words of Scripture as He invites us to come. Psalm 37, He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Come. Father, we just come to You this morning as a body, as individuals. We come and we stand before Your altar. And I just pray, God, for each of us, do a work in our lives. We wait patiently before You. We pray for rest, for peace, for joy for each individual here. May we go into this week with the blessing of God upon us. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Go in His peace. If you'd like to take a moment to pray, come on up. Catherine and I will be here at the front. We'd love to pray with you, to support you in prayer. Blessings as you go.